Welcome back, AC Sports Podcast. It is episode 2. Third installment to the series. Second sports episode. Today is Wednesday, November 28th? November 28th, 2018. Months flying by. Christmas will be here before you know it. Last time we talked to you guys, it was Thanksgiving. We're rolling now into a whole nother week, soon to be a whole nother month. And we just want to thank you guys for returning, to all returners. Great news over the last week. We are now on Spotify, as well as YouTube is working. So these will be up on those platforms, as well as Anchor, if you guys felt comfortable using Anchor still. But I know Spotify, way more mainstream, way more used. So those ones that were waiting on Spotify, it's here. Spotify is a go. Apple Podcast still in the works, but Spotify is a go. YouTube is a go. Anchor is a go. And episode 2 is a go. The giveaway, we decided to extend it to December 7th just because we're still so new. Waiting for a little bit more exposure, hoping you guys would help give us a little bit more exposure as well. So instead of it being done Friday the 30th, we're sending it to next Friday, December 7th. Remember, that's for two winners. First winner gets a free jersey of their choice, and second winner gets like free apparel item, like a t-shirt or a hat of the team of their choice as well, that we will send to them for free. Use it for yourself. Use it for a Christmas gift. Christmas is around the corner. Your choice, our pleasure. And yeah, so today on this episode, we are going to discuss kind of a little bit more stuff than the last time. Last time it was more just NFL stuff, mostly because it was a Thanksgiving episode and to get you guys get a feel for us. Today it's going to be about Champions League stuff. We had matchups yesterday, both yesterday and today, different implications, still some stuff on the line in regards to getting into that round of 16. So we'll get some opinions from Chris on that, as well as myself. We're going to preview the Thursday NFL game, New Orleans and Dallas. We'll get to that one as well. Discuss maybe a little bit of what might have happened over the weekend that may have surprised us NFL-related-wise, as well as maybe controversial or questionable front office moves, in particular to a specific player that we'll get to. As well as wrapping up the show with a little bit of talks about college football playoff rankings, and more going into conference championship weekend. And that is how our show is going to go today. And with that...
Yep. Well, first, we're going to recap the Thanksgiving Day episode 2. Not forget what we talked about that episode and go over what happened and, you know, what we took out of those games. So let's move on with our first topic, which is the Thanksgiving Day games. What was the first game? The first game was Detroit against
the Bears.
That game, Chase Daniels proved me wrong. No, you know what? It wasn't Chase Daniels that proved me wrong. It was Matthew Stafford
that let you down.
To let me down.
Matthew Stafford was, I believe, you projected to be your game MVP.
I think he was like my ex. I think he might have been my ex-factor game MVP.
Yeah. I can't remember, but he definitely threw two picks late. Pick six to Eddie Jackson is not going to help. Bears got the win. Next game was the Redskins. Sorry. Washington and the Cowboys. Trying to be politically correct.
Cowboys ran away with that game.
Yeah.
They just.
Zeke, 143 and a touchdown. So if you do recall from the last show, I said easily 100 and maybe two touchdowns. So I'll take 150 and a touchdown.
Don't forget Cooper, 180 yards receiving.
Including like a, 90-yard touchdown, is that what it was? Yeah,
Something like that. Two touchdowns. Yeah. So, you know.
Absolutely horrible Washington defense, as I had claimed.
The big three of Dallas showed up.
Yeah.
Prescott had an amazing touchdown.
Your boy didn't help out at all. Hook'em, horns down. Colt McCoy was pretty bad. I think he had three interceptions.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Worked out for me, though, because I have the Cowboys defense. But, I mean, not anymore. Just for that last week, I did. But moving on, the nightcap, Saints beat Atlanta. Saints, Breeze had, like, less than 200 yards passing. because the Saints defense played so well. They had, I believe, two or three turnovers forced. Played excellent against Matt Ryan, creating very short field for the Saints. Four touchdown passes for Breeze. Very quiet game from Ingram, Thomas, and Kamara. Definitely unexpected. Four newbies getting touchdown catches. Austin Carr, Keith Kirkwood, Dan Arnold. Who's the first? I forget the other one. Oh, Tommy Lee Lewis got it as well. Breeze did throw his second interception of the season, but the guy is now sitting at 32-2 touchdown to turnover ratio.
And to believe I traded him away to Austin.
Yeah, gotta do what you gotta do, man.
But who really stole the show for me was Taysom Hill.
That's my guy. Swiss Army knife.
Dude, I think it was like the third quarter or the fourth quarter. I forgot. But there's a drive where he was just leading the team.
I know he ran over one of the linebackers for Atlanta. Got a first down like on a third down possession in the red zone. And yeah, that right there alone tells you who is this guy. Dude returned a kick too. So, guys everywhere. Sunday night, unfortunately.
Wait, does he ever catch?
Huh?
Does Taysom Hill ever go out, like, catch passes? Or is he always just...
He's mostly just wildcat. I've seen him get, like, toss plays from Breeze. Like, they've both lined up in the backfield before. I don't think Breeze has ever thrown him a pass. Usually he just runs wildcat. Or does special teams. Or who knows? I guess he does everything.
Has he ever thrown?
Yeah, he does. Like, there's times where Breeze will be on the field at receiver, but he'll throw, like, passes. Taysom Hill will throw passes to, like, Thomas or somebody or tight end.
Well, let me ask you a question then. Who would you rather have as your quarterback if Breeze goes down, Taysom Hill or Teddy Bridgewater?
At this point, I mean, I guess you could have either one.
Well, who would you have rather?
Taysom Hill probably has a little bit more upside, but if Breeze did go down and Taysom Hill became the starter, then you would lose a lot of Taysom Hill from everywhere else, because you're not going to have your starting quarterback playing special teams and running wildcat.
Yeah,
and since he is just like package guy, they would probably go with Bridgewater. I would take either one. I don't think I would genuinely like pick one or the other, because if you lose Breeze, you're not screwed, but you're essentially screwed. Yeah. So Sunday night, unfortunately, my only loss of the five games. I did go 4-1 with the predictions. My only loss of the week. The Vikings did in fact beat the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, under 200 yards, only one touchdown pass.
Yeah, there's only so much he can do.
He did airmail a second possible touchdown to Devontae Adams. I forget what quarter it was in. But he did miss on another possible touchdown to Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
But the Vikings' offense looked really good.
I forgot what
Kirk Cousins looked really good.
X factor was for the Vikings.
I think it was Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins played really well.
He outplayed Aaron Rodgers for sure.
And he was playing a lot more safe, but not like Alex Smith safe, where it's like not effective. He was playing safe, but it was still effective.
Yeah, I believe Diggs caught a touchdown. Diggs could have had two, but I know he dropped one. I think when he landed in the end zone, it came out. Thielen got his touchdown. Dalvin Cook didn't do anything on the ground, but did have a receiving touchdown to make him have some kind of fantasy value, which sucks because I played him in one of my leagues, and that probably was a factor in me losing. Sunday night, Vikings didn't get the win. A big win because it creates a little bit of separation and keeps them closer to Chicago, which took us to Monday, which was the runaway. Mariota did play, so at least that was good. I didn't watch this either. But I know Mariota played. I believe he had like two rushing touchdowns, which is good for him. But Texans, pretty much a runaway from the start. I know Lamar Miller had like a 97-yard rushing touchdown.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that was cool.
Another 97 yards is Juju Smith, which is his second 97 yards of his career. Remember last year it was against Sunday night against Detroit.
Yeah.
So shout out Juju for that.
So recapping that, I went 4-1, only lost the Packers game. Chris did go 3-2. He lost the Bears game and the You said Washington over Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Washington over Dallas. Both of us, though, over 500 winning records on the predictions. Essentially, though, I do go 4-2, and Chris goes 4-2 because Chris, with the Phil Mickelson pick on what turned out to actually be a really good, extraordinary match with Tiger going into sudden death in that Black Friday match that probably nobody watched just because no one's trying to spend money for that. But Chris did get that right. So technically, we're both 4-2 in predictions coming into this week. And now we'll kick off our talk for this week. I'm going to start off with the Champions League, soccer fans out there. It was a big Tuesday and Wednesday in terms of matchups, getting into the last 16, as well as teams trying to fight for position going into the final match day of the group stage. Chris, what you got? What you got Champions League-wise?
Passing on were Ajax, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, no surprise, Bayern Munich, no surprise. Atletico Madrid is no surprise also. Dortmund, Juventus, no surprise with Ronaldo, Man City and Manchester United, Porto, Real Madrid, Roma, and Schalke. The teams that can still reach it, who are still fighting for a spot in that, are Inter Milan, Liverpool, Lyon, Napoli, PSG, Shakhtar, and Tottenham Hotspurs. The games that will determine who passes on are like must-see games if you're into soccer. Well, even if you're not into soccer, it's still very dramatic games. Soccer is a very dramatic sport.
For those maybe not so familiar with like the Champions League or just soccer in general, the scope of this tournament, would you consider this tournament to be more maybe more important than like the league play, or would you consider this to be like this is like the premier level of competition you can be at? Is this tournament right here amongst like international or club play?
I think every club wants to win domestically, just because they get the, you know, that's they're in their country. But if you win the Champions League, that's bragging rights. That's pretty much saying you're the best team in Europe. This tournament is made up of the best teams in Europe. You know, the group leader, I mean the league winners and the league runner ups, and sometimes the third place ones. They get to go into this league. So if you get to win this league, then you know that means a lot.
Yeah, and when you say the best teams in Europe, you're essentially this tournament is the best teams in the world.
Because yeah,
that's
yeah.
The best teams are all there. There's sorry, Western Hemisphere, but soccer's not, your team's quality is not up there.
Yeah,
but Europe definitely is the head of that. So you did say that 12 of the 16 spots are taken.
Are booked, yes.
Going into the last 16, what team that is already in the last 16 is the most dangerous in your opinion?
Most dangerous. I think Barcelona is the obvious answer. They have Messi, they have Suarez, and they're Barcelona. But most dangerous, I want to say Man City.
Yeah, I believe they're what, number one ranked club, I think, in the most recent rankings for club rankings. I believe they're ranked number one ahead of, surprisingly, I believe number two is Dortmund.
I think it was
Man City, Dortmund, Barca was the top three. Yeah, Dortmund was number two. What are they for real, or taking that ranking that you are all obviously surprised by? Taking that ranking along with them, I believe having a pretty easy group stage with Madrid. Did Dortmund beat Monaco today? Or no, Atletico Madrid beat Monaco today. Mm. But clearly their group stage was pretty easy. They have 10 points. Atletico Madrid has 12 points, and nobody else is close. Wow, Monaco had 1 point with a negative 10 goal differential. That's pretty disappointing. Yeah.
Thierry Henry, what are you doing?
But Dortmund-wise, is that something that's for real? Is that impressive to you? Is it maybe just because a lack of true quality since they would just be playing like Bayern? Or is it, what do you think? What do you think about that number two ranking for Dortmund?
That's surprising for sure. Number two is pretty much saying they're a semi-finalist team or a finalist team, which I don't think they are. I think they're a quarter-finalist team. If they make the semi-finalist, then they probably like played really well to get there.
Would you say, like, if they made the semifinals, that's kind of like the club's maybe expectation was to maybe make this? Do you think they would have exceeded club expectations if they make the final four teams? Oh, or do you think that do you think that they would be like content, like, oh, that's impressive, impressive run? Or do you think if they like get knocked out in the round of 16, club wise, they're like, oh, it's whatever.
If they get knocked out in the round of 16, no, I think they would be upset with that. I think if they got to the semifinals, that would be exceeding expectations.
So you're pretty much booking them as like their baseline expectations, for at least in your eyes, would be that Dortmund is a quarterfinal quality Champions League
team. I mean, every team sees themselves as finalists.
Yeah.
So, but realistically, I mean, in the past couple of years, you know, Royce, you know, they have good players, but they're not semifinalists or finalists. So they're probably the number two is surprising. That's probably just they've been playing good. They're good, like they're in form right now. But over time, we'll see them. We'll see Dortmund for how Dortmund really is.
I know I have a question I'm going to ask you next, but give me your, because this question might, your answer to what I'm going to ask you might be this, but I'm just going to ask you this ahead of that other question. What is your takeaway on the post Ronaldo Real Madrid team as you've seen them play now? They have already booked a spot into the last 16, but what is their overall play between club and domestic and this competition with the post Ronaldo life? How do you think they've looked? Because I know they've looked pretty poor. And I think it was yesterday I seen rumors of them trying to find a way to transfer Bale out now, because he hasn't been putting up numbers to take in Ronaldo's absence.
I mean, so, no one's gonna put numbers like Ronaldo up. I think they knew that. I think transferring Ronaldo wasn't their choice either. I think it was what Ronaldo wanted more than what Madrid wanted. But
obviously, you would think,
but
potentially the best player in the world or ever.
But Madrid, since Ronaldo left, in the beginning they were good. They were showing, like, you know, they could do without Ronaldo. Benzema was doing good. Bale was doing good. They have the world's best player. You know, the winner of the award was Modric. So, like, they still have a good team. They just haven't been performing well. That could be from the lack of quality of coach. They fired their coach in the beginning of the season, and now they promoted their team B manager up.
Is that the Solari?
Yeah. So it could be poor managing from the coach. But yeah, they're overall domestically they're bad. Champions League, you know, they got a lucky goal against Roma. It was a mistake by the goalie of defense, and Bale was able to capitalize on it. The second goal was just, you know, they got a goal.
What was the final score in that game?
2-0.
2-0?
Yeah.
Did you see, did you happen to see Under, the Turkish player, for Roma's miss from like 5 feet away?
I did, yeah.
When he just booted it over the crossbar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's sad. Hey, but shout out Roma. They made it into the last 16. So I guess they really weren't playing for much anyways in that game, other than maybe positioning. But it doesn't matter, because you said it's a draw for the next game. So as long as they got in, they probably don't really care too much. I mean, he probably does, because he did it on the world stage. But yeah, so shout out for that. What team has disappointed you the most over the course of the group stage this far? Aside from, I mean, obviously Madrid hasn't disappointed technically, since they already made it into the 16, but in terms of the group stage and in terms of this tournament, who's disappointed you the most?
Liverpool. Sitting third behind Napoli, which is not too much a surprise, but it's a surprise, and sitting behind PSG, which isn't obviously a surprise either. PSG should be on top of the league, or on top of the standing, or the group, as most people would believe, but Napoli is. But Liverpool is being semi-finalists last year in the competition, and having the front three of Salah, Mane, and Roberto Firmino, they should be better than just three. But at the same time, you can't blame them, because they do also have PSG and Napoli in the group. But for me, it would be Liverpool, just because they're just a promising. They show like they're a promising team, but they haven't been executing well. They should have. Yeah, it was a really tough group. But if I'd say anything, it'd probably be Liverpool, because they still haven't made it in there.
If Liverpool is to make it, and somehow somehow PSG doesn't make it to the last 16, what would be more disappointing? PSG not making it to the last 16, or Liverpool, despite being a finalist last year, not making it to the last 16? Or would PSG not making it be more disappointing between the two?
PSG.
I think PSG. Like an $800 trillion payroll. Makes sense.
Oh, I accidentally said, I just caught myself. I said Liverpool was a semifinalist, but they were in the final last year with Madrid. So they have been disappointing. But yes, PSG, if they don't make it.
But it would be between those two, which technically one of them could not make it and the other one could make it.
Yeah, it would. Most disappointing would be PSG. Just because you expect so much from PSG with Neymar and Mbappe.
And every other guy on the entire
team. Yeah. Yeah, so if PSG don't make it out of the group standing, then that's pretty disappointing of them.
So PSG, Liverpool, potentially both the disappointments. I didn't write this question down, but what would be your, maybe an underdog or somebody nobody's talking about that is in the last 16, right? Maybe right now or could get in, but who would be, who could surprise the field of, a team nobody would care about and, maybe make it to, the semis or quarter or something?
I don't know. That's a hard one. I don't see Manchester United doing good past the group. Past the group stages. Maybe Roma. Roma was a surprise last year. Maybe they could do it again. Last year, they upset Barcelona to make it to semifinals. The
semis, right? Yeah.
And they played a good two games against Liverpool. It was close. They made it close, but obviously Liverpool came out on top. So I'm gonna say Roma. I think they can surprise again.
What about Schalke? FC Porto. What about the small guys out there? Nothing. No. Nah, They ran their course.
Porto did win their division, or their, I would say division, their
isn't it with Schalke though?
Their group, yeah, but it is
with Schalke. It was a pretty weak one, right? With Lokomotiv and Galatasaray.
Exactly. So it wasn't too surprising, but maybe, I don't know.
They're mostly going to be out after the 16. Because,
like I said, it also depends on the draw. If they get a favorable draw, maybe Porto gets drawn up against Schalke, then they can go on to quarterfinalists. Unless they get, drawn with Ajax or something, then that semifinalists, so it all depends on the draw. The draw is random now, so whatever comes out.
Yeah, there you go.
Games to watch for the next match day though is Inter versus PSV. That has a lot of implications on it because the winner of that game will get... Wait, what was it? Oh, yeah. Inter versus PSV. So, Inter right now is tied with Tottenham with 7 points. So, they both need to win both their games. And they both have -1 goal differential right now. So, they both need to win their games to have a chance to go on to the next round, Barcelona. Milan has an easier game opposed to what Tottenham has. Tottenham has to play Barcelona in Barcelona. Maybe Barcelona don't start their starters because they don't have anything to play for. But it all depends on the manager also. But then it also is it's not hard to... I mean, it is hard to win in Barcelona. Even if you're playing against the subs. The subs are playing for Barcelona because they're going to be starters for Barcelona. So, they're playing against good players. Milan, like I said, has a more favorable matchup because they are playing in Milan also. I'm going to give it my prediction. I'd probably say Milan is going to pass through this group instead of Tottenham.
So is it going to be Milan beats PSV and Tottenham beats Barca, but Milan goes through on a better goal differential? Or do you think just Tottenham loses to Barca and it doesn't even matter?
I think Tottenham will lose to Barcelona. They might not start Messi, but they'll start their star players also.
I think it's going to be, it's going to come down to the goal differential. Harry Kane is a monster. I see him scoring twice to try to put Tottenham on his back, like he has the entire existence of Tottenham. But I think that they're just not going to score enough on Barca. Yeah. Into what Milan can do at home against PSV, mm-hmm. who obviously, like you said, everyone would realize is the weaker opponent between them and Barca. But yeah, I see Milan going through. Yep. This is like their first Champions League in like 7 years, huh? Inter Milan's.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. The next games, what was it?
Next games is for group...
is it A?
No, it's group... It's Group C.
Mm-hmm.
Group C, which Napoli, like I mentioned before, is winning. PSG in second, Liverpool in third, and Red Star in fourth. Liverpool has to play Napoli, but good, lucky for them, it's in Liverpool at Anfield. PSG has to play against Red Star, but it's at Red Star. So PSG against Red Star, though, you're always going to take PSG. With Neymar and Mbappe, and like I said, Cavani, and their defense that they have, Thiago Silva. Now they have Buffon as a keeper, you know, that's an automatic win for them. They're probably going to boost their goal differential up a lot more. Napoli.
Yeah, what was the first game? 6-0? 5-0?
Yeah. Liverpool against Napoli will be, that will be going on at the same time as the Inter versus PSV and Barcelona versus Tottenham. But if you can watch any of those three games, I'd probably recommend Liverpool and Napoli. Two really good teams fighting to go to the next stage. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be playing with their heart out. They're going to play their heart out. So, if I predict for that one, I think Liverpool is going to come out on top of that one. They're playing Anfield, so that gives them a lot of an advantage. And I think they're going to want to go into the group or into the knockout stages.
What you're saying here is PSG is going to beat Red Star, mm-hmm. which would lock them into the last 16. Which everybody probably assumes will be the case. And then Liverpool beats Napoli. Liverpool jumps into the... Or would it... How? What's the goal differential for Napoli? Is there a way that Liverpool beats Napoli but doesn't...
Oh, right.
Doesn't make it because of goal differential?
Yeah, so right now Liverpool is at 1 and Napoli is at 3. So Liverpool has to beat them by 3 to pass.
So you think what's more likely? Liverpool beats Napoli 3-0 or PSG loses to Red Star? What's more likely to happen?
Most likely to happen, Liverpool beating Napoli by 3. Because, like I've said, it's an Anfield. PSG is not going to lose to Red Star.
Especially when they have to play to make sure they're not resting anyone. So,
but Liverpool does have to beat Napoli.
They probably could rest people and still win. But
yeah,
but so you think Liverpool beats Napoli enough to get
if,
in?
Is their
game plan going to be all out attack essentially?
Pretty much,
because they know that they need to win 3-0.
Yeah. But if they don't win 3-0, then it also, I think it moves on to Liverpool has 3 losses and Napoli has 3 draws. So I think Napoli would go through because they don't have any losses.
So pretty much looking at PSG moving on because they're going to beat Red Star. Everybody realizes that. They already did by a ridiculous amount. And then Liverpool only gets through on a 3-0 or like 4-1, whatever. 3 goal differential win. And you think it's possible.
I think
I'm gonna say that Liverpool is gonna win, but I don't see them beating Napoli 3-0
because
Napoli is only given up 4 goals, which is the lowest in the group.
Yeah.
Compared to Liverpool, who's given up 7, only and scored 8.
Mm-hmm.
Napoli scored 7, given up 4. I just don't know if Napoli's in a win in essentially. If they lose by 3, a win or go home, or draw or go home or whatever, it's a don't lose by 3 or go home type game. I just don't see them giving up essentially almost the entire amount of goals they've given up in the first 5 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So at Anfield or not.
I think Liverpool will win, but like you said, I think Napoli's going to go on from goal difference. So it'll be PSG at the top and Napoli second.
It'll be exciting though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know Liverpool's going to be playing for everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
So there you have it. If there's a game to watch, you heard them. Liverpool versus
Napoli.
Yeah. Pretty much to do or die, get in. But to help satisfy the four remaining spots left in the round of 16, there's one spot I know that has to get claimed, because only three spots can get claimed from the games we talked about. The last one, is it Lyon and Shakhtar, right? Lyon has like 7 points, and Shakhtar has like 5.
Mm-hmm.
You think just Lyon will take the other spot?
Because
who's Lyon's matchup?
Lyon has to play... that's play Shakhtar.
Oh, so that would be actually that's a real winner-go-home game, yeah. Technically. I mean, unless it's a draw. Lyon's looking for a draw or a win. Shakhtar's looking for a win. Shakhtar wins, they jump Lyon for the second spot.
This isn't Shakhtar, too.
Wow. So maybe that game is the undercover game of the week when it comes up. Probably not that big a deal, because they're probably both going to get bounced in the last 16.
Yeah.
But for the joy and glory of their club. Yeah. Lyon's going to go. I think Lyon's going to win.
Yeah.
Where even is Shakhtar? Is that in Turkey?
I think so. Yeah, it is. So, yeah. Turkish fans are crazy, though, and they will help them a lot since they're playing at home. But I'll take Shakhtar in this one.
Ooh. Yeah, taking the win over Lyon and moving into the last, pretty much probably spot 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're playing at home and they know they need a win. And, you know, Lyon's hoping for a tie or a win, but, you know, Shakhtar's hoping for the win all out. So I think Shakhtar will win this one.
Yeah, a lot of goals given up between the two. Lyon 10, Shakhtar 15. Shakhtar's a -8 goal differential. But like you said, they're at home. You said Turkish fans are crazy. And yeah, overall, who wins the whole Champions League? At this point, who's your winner of the whole tournament, if you had to predict right now?
Barcelona.
You heard him. Barcelona, that's his prediction to win.
What's yours?
I'm going to say Man City, just because they're cruising at the top of the power rankings. They've literally been number one forever since the Champions League tournament started. And I just think they're too good. They have so much talent. And not only do they have so much talent, but they have so much talent in the most competitive league, in the Premier League, too. And they're doing it in the Premier League. They can handle teams that are not as talented in the Champions League, because not every Champions League team is at the same quality as, like, a Man U and Tottenham and Liverpool and Arsenal, that you would have to play a lot or see all the time.
Yeah.
I just think that they're just so good of a team. But I you know, it's going to be one of those big teams. Maybe Juventus.
Maybe.
Just because of Ronaldo and Dybala. Having that duo and that group of players. Yeah, but I'm going to say Man City. Okay. If we were to pick right now today with the current situation.
I think Barca. I think they're just this powerhouse. I think they could just be anyone at this point. So I'm going to go with Barca. I'm never going to bet against Messi unless it's against Ronaldo.
There you have it. The Chris's Champions League Corner segment. Switching over now to our NFL, just a very brief NFL Thursday preview of the New Orleans Saints, 10-1. We already discussed they beat Atlanta last week to move to 10-1. At Dallas, also won against Washington on Thanksgiving to move to 6-5. And I believe take the head of the NFC East in the process. They're tied, but they have head-to-head with over Washington, and obviously Washington is going to trend down. Who wins this game? I mean, I think we probably both have an idea. I'm obviously going to pick the Saints. I probably assume you are too.
Yeah.
Blowout or no?
No. They're playing in Dallas.
I don't say it's a blowout because, like you said, they're playing in Dallas. And on top of them playing in Dallas, it's Thursday. Thursday games.
They both get a whole week off.
Yeah, that's true too. It's almost like they're playing on Sunday.
It's not a short week for them.
Yeah,
it's...
you're right. Maybe it would be a regular type style game. Maybe it is a blowout. No, I'm just kidding. New Orleans offense is just way too good. We've established that. they've established that themselves on a 10-game win streak. Their one loss, that week one super shootout against Tampa Bay,
where they
scored 42. So in their only loss of the season, they scored 42 points. So this team's offense is beyond explosive. Like I was talking about earlier, Breeze now on the 32-2 touchdown to turnover ratio against the Dallas team that did force a lot of turnovers against Colt McCoy, with limited talent really around him on top of his limited talent. Now going against potentially, not potentially, but what Vegas has now as the Super Bowl favorites at plus, I believe, plus 300 or plus 330 ahead of the Rams to win the Super Bowl. New Orleans Saints. Game MVP, I'm going to say, Breeze. Drew Breeze is going to have now an individualized Thursday night game to show that, to show why he deserves his first MVP trophy. I know Mahomes has a lot more yards, and I think probably maybe five or six more touchdown passes than Breeze. He does have like 10 interceptions, but I could get the debate. The debate is that Mahomes means more to Kansas City than what Breeze means to New Orleans. Statistically, maybe, because last year, Kansas City with Alex Smith is not the same as Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, which I guess maybe people did see coming. I honestly didn't see it coming. I knew Mahomes was a gunslinger, so I knew he was more likely to throw it out air raid, because he was throwing like 60 to 70 passes a game at Texas Tech. So I could see the debate. I just think that Breeze has shown you. I mean, yeah, he set his records and set his numbers this year, but you can't use history to determine MVPs. But I just feel like he's showing that he can do it. And people have always said, like, oh, he has his interception seasons where he throws a lot. But he's 32-2 ratio, potentially the Super Bowl champion. And he's distributing. He's got a lot of mouths to feed. Last week when he threw his touchdown to Dan Arnold, which was his fourth one, that tied him with the NFL record for most touchdowns in one season to a teammate. As in, he has now thrown a touchdown to 13 different players this season, which ties the record. He can break that because they still have Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall has not caught a touchdown from him this year. I don't believe Zach Line, the fullback, has caught a touchdown pass from him this year either. So he could break that record.
How much did Brandon Marshall play on Thanksgiving?
I don't think he did. I think it was a do not play. That's why Keith Kirkwood played. And Tommy Lee Lewis. That's why those two guys had a lot more time. But I don't think Brandon Marshall suited up. He might have suited up or was a DNP, but he did not play. I know that for sure.
Okay.
Game MVP. What's your pick?
I think Michael Thomas is going to have a good game. I think he's going to shot on prime time. I see two touchdowns, over 150 yards from Michael Thomas. But then again, that he's catching from Breeze. So so whatever goes for Thomas goes for Breeze also. Yeah. So game MVP, it's hard to say wide receiver and not a quarterback. But
I mean, it could be. You could make the case because they could have like a bunch of yards and two touchdowns. The quarterback could have like 250 and like three picks. But the receivers still play good.
Yeah.
I think you see that a lot with a lot of teams.
Michael Thomas is due for a good game. He hasn't had a good game in like two weeks.
Or 3 weeks. Yeah. I think it's a very favorable matchup for Michael Thomas. Ouzier is their best DB, and he's a good DB, but he is not up to par to guard Michael Thomas, because literally nobody can guard Michael Thomas.
Can guard Mike.
Exactly. Yeah, I can see it though. X factor in this game. Last week I said it. This week I'm gonna say it again. New Orleans Saints defense is the X factor, because if they can continue this run that they've been on, last week they scored, I think, 15 or 16 fantasy points. The week before that, they scored like 14. So they've scored 30 points their past 2 weeks. They're showing what they were last year when they came out of nowhere to be this top elite defense. It's now come into fruition. Cam Jordan has 8 sacks. Sheldon Rankins has 7. And I believe this morning, Cam Jordan was Cam Jordan was getting interviewed, and he said, if you're going to double team me, then I feel sorry for your offensive line having to go one-on-one with Sheldon Rankins. And if you double team him, then thank you, because now I get my chance. I think that if they can get a pass rush on Prescott, they could maybe have another field day with interceptions from Wentz to Matt Ryan to now Prescott. So I'm going to go Saints defense X factor.
My X factor is on the opposite side. I think it's the Dallas offense. If the Dallas offense can play the way that they did on Thanksgiving with their three stars outperforming, not outperforming, but, you know, playing really good as like how you would expect them to, I think obviously they'll give the Saints defense a hard time. They'll put up a lot of points, which puts more pressure on New Orleans offense to put up points as well. I guess it all depends on how the defense works at your X factor and how the Dallas offense responds to the Saints defenses.
Yeah, so I'm going to say the Saints win this game by a score of 31-20. I'm going to say 31-17 because that was the score of the Falcons and Saints game. 31-20 is going to be my final score. Prescott's not going to be able to do it because this is not the Redskins. This is the potential Super Bowl favorite. No, the Super Bowl favorite. And my guys, New Orleans, going to get this win on a Thursday night. Transitioning that, this past weekend, what was your biggest surprise from the past weekend's action, NFL related wise? It could be a team, it could be a player.
Biggest surprise. You want a good segue? Biggest surprise is the signing of Reuben Foster by the Redskins.
Yeah. Very potentially. I don't know. Potentially controversial.
It is controversial.
Yeah.
It is controversial. You know, not even bringing Kaepernick into this. I think people aren't happy with the fact that they pick up someone who's being accused of domestic violence. It is by the same girl who was proved to be lying, false allegations as the last time. So these could be false. But I think they said that she did have like an inch cut like on her collarbone, I think they said. So, you know, he's very talented. I think we all know that.
How do you feel? I'm gonna drop something on you. I was watching for my ESPN viewing earlier. In the statement that Washington released, they said they were going to do their own team investigation into the situation. How do you feel that they have not started that process, or at least they haven't even made contact with the police department to get information? Because it is being noted now that the only team that had reached out to the police department to get details was the Philadelphia Eagles. They're the only team to make a questioning to the authority. How do you feel about Washington saying they're gonna do their team investigation but haven't even contacted police for information but have still claimed him off waivers?
I think they're taking a lot of what their players are saying about Reuben Foster. In the same statement, they said that the reason behind this, or picking him up, is because of what his ex-teammates and what their current players have been telling them. Like, you know, they're probably telling him, like, oh, sign Reuben Foster, you know, he's really good. He is really good. And they're probably telling him, you know, he would never do that stuff. So that's probably what's leading them to not, you know, really push towards the actual investigation of it and just waiting for it to come to them, kind of, so they could, like, do it within themselves.
Yeah, I think that's the case. What's that phrase? Toxic masculinity. I think maybe that's not the right phrase to use in this situation. But I mean, of course, teammates, ex-Alabama teammates that are on Washington's roster, ex-Alabama teammates in general, people that might know Reuben Foster, he had a way larger support system when he was in Alabama with Nick Saban and that program pretty much being like a pro team in Alabama. There was a lot more people making sure he was going to do right, and a lot more people making sure he was going to stay out of trouble. But as soon as he got that taste of freedom, you saw what happened. He got in trouble before the combine. He got in trouble during the combine. And now this is what, his third stint with the potential domestic violence case in what, 2 years? Was he a rookie last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in 2 years.
I thought it was the second.
I don't know. I can't remember. I know this is like his third issue with something since being on the Niners, or I guess no longer on the Niners, but third issue since being an NFL player, and he had the combine issues as well that made him fall in the draft. Domestic
violence, gun charges, and then...
Yeah, now another domestic violence. Yeah, so clearly he's not a guy that can be in control on his own, so I guess support system would be a big influencer. But again, I think it's just, of course, a teammate and other male athletes are going to be like, oh yeah, he's fine, he's cool, whatever the case is. But you know, there's going to be all the women and others that are like, oh, this guy, he hasn't even been cleared of like anything by a charges dropped or anything, and he's already on another roster and essentially has work because he's allowed to play with them, like at practice and work out with them. He just can't go to the games because he's on the exempt list for playing, but he's not on the exempt list in, as a whole. So he gets to practice. He's still going to get, I don't know if he's going to get paid. That could be a stretch, but he might be getting paid still, essentially. But if he is, that's pretty issuesome, if that's a word. I don't know if that is, but it's a pretty big issue. I think they jumped way too fast to do a claim on him. They should have let it go because I don't think anybody else was going to claim him.
No, I don't think anyone would have, yeah. Especially with, you know, investigations not even really going anywhere right now.
Yeah, but are you surprised by this franchise? I'm not. Just like earlier on ESPN, they were talking about this is the most tone-deaf franchise probably in all sports as a whole, and dating just back to the still consistent issue with the name and the logo and the thing that happened before this year when they had like the cheerleader thing, whatever. About like cheerleaders saying that they're like being like assaulted and stuff by like members of the organization, not players, but just members of the organization. Maybe players. I don't remember. I don't think players were involved. I think it was like they were making them do like bikini shoots like way more than they should have, and all kinds of like stuff like that, like at like sponsorship meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
So another issue on its own, but. And another issue is that the guy who was giving the statement, Doug Williams, I think his name is Doug Williams. Doug Williams is like the player of personnel. And I guess technically, I guess according to some like the Washington, D.C. area is like an iconic member of the organization. And that they kind of used him as a make it safer sounding because it's him, which I think is wrong because if you're going to get a player who's in an issue like this, I see that as a cop out.
Yeah.
To use somebody that maybe the fans trust. But it should have came from Dan Snyder. I believe Dan Snyder is the owner, right? Or he's the GM. Dan Snyder should have made the announcement if he's going to be the guy bringing him in. Pretty sure Dan Snyder is the owner. He's going to be the one bringing him in. Jay Gruden should have made a thing if he's a part of the decision-making to bring in. If your head coach is bringing in a guy who's still potentially a domestic violence abuser, he should make the call. I think they shouldn't have signed him. I don't know how you feel.
I think they could have held on a little longer.
I mean, yeah, the guy's talented, and that's I could see them doing the signing to keep him on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets cleared, you get a talented player 6 months from now, or however long. But yeah, a little bit of a reach, probably not a fan favorite choice by far. Yeah, with that, talking about Reuben Foster in Alabama, segue. College football playoff rankings came out, and of course. Alabama, obviously, no question, was at the top. Number one, 12-0, followed by Clemson, 12-0 at number two, Notre Dame, 12-0 at number three, Georgia, 4, Oklahoma, 5, Ohio State, 6. Those three teams all 11-1.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Go for it.
Who do you think we'll be here in January at Levi's Stadium?
Oh, in January, it'll be Alabama versus it doesn't matter. we could be the second team. Whoever goes, it's going to be good for that team because they're going to make the championship game. And right now, I know there's a lot of debate about who's going to be the fourth team in, but it matters, but it doesn't matter. Alabama's going to win. Alabama, I believe they released it was last week before Ohio State beat Michigan. They released the thing saying that Alabama, the closest difference between win differential that Vegas has out right now was Alabama beating Clemson by 13.5. They're 13.5 point favorites against the second ranked team. So whoever it is, 3, 4, 5, 6, 87, UCF, it doesn't matter. I hope UCF would somehow manage to get in, because if they win on Saturday and then win their conference championship, actually, I think that might be the conference. If they win on Saturday, they could go 12-0, and that would mean that they went 25-0 in two seasons after going 0-12. Damn. They're the first team ever to go 0-12 and then go undefeated next season, and now they're about to go 25-0. Their quarterback did just absolutely obliterate his leg, though. That was that video. I sent you. Yeah. So whatever the case, they're number 8. They're not gonna get in because they're a small conference. So that's unfortunate for them. Alabama's gonna win. Who they play, I'm probably gonna say Clemson. One, because I like USC, and so I don't want Notre Dame to win. Also, Notre Dame doesn't play in the conference. They don't have a conference championship game this weekend. That would help bolster their strength of schedule. And I just think that they're not gonna beat a Clemson team. Who, yes, the ACC is really weak this year. They do play Pitt in the ACC championship game on Saturday, and Pitt just lost to Miami and fell out of the top 25 rankings. So they're playing a team who's not in the top 25, who I think is like maybe 7-5 is like the other opponent for the ACC championship game. So I don't think that'll be a thing. Alabama and Georgia play each other this week, SEC championship game. If Georgia beats Alabama, Alabama will go no lower than 2. Alabama may stay as number 1, even if they lose to Georgia. If Georgia beats Alabama, Georgia's in the Final Four, and the Final Four is Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Georgia, in some order. Clemson probably would go to number 1, followed by Georgia, Bama, Notre Dame, 4. I don't know if Georgia's going to win. If Georgia loses, they're probably not going to be in the top 4. So Georgia's at a weird spot, win or go home, essentially. Oklahoma, they play Texas, number 5 Oklahoma versus number 4 Texas in the Big 12 championship. Texas won the first round. Only loss for Oklahoma was a instant classic this year against Texas Red River, and the instant classic Red River rivalry game that ended with a Texas game-winning field goal. I think Oklahoma's gonna win this time around, and pretty much claim that 4th spot. Even if Ohio State, who's number 6, beats number 21 Northwestern in the Big Ten championship, Oklahoma has a better. People are saying that Oklahoma's schedule is not as good, but I think they're about equal. If I was to put it out there, yes, Oklahoma's giving up like 450 yards a game and like 34 points, but they're also like doing double that in their offense. And their one loss was a game-winning field goal by Texas, who is number 14. As opposed to Ohio State, they have a one loss against a poor 6-6 Purdue team, in which they lost by 29. But they did have that massive win last week over a former top playoff potential team, Michigan, in which they dropped 62 on them. So it could be a down-to-the-wire decision. I think Oklahoma gets in. I know earlier ESPN was talking about how they want Kyler Murray to play Tua as the 1-4 for viewership reasons, and they don't want Ohio State in because of the Urban Meyer stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's an issue, because a lot of people don't realize that that playoff polling is actually voted on by coaches and other like officials of the conferences, not by like the media. Coaches aren't going to care about viewership. They're going to pick the teams that they think deserves to be in, and I think Oklahoma deserves to be in there. Other college football games around the scene that probably don't, that actually, not probably, they don't matter. Boise State, number 22, Boise State plays number 25, Fresno State, Mountain West championship game. I think Boise will win, just because Boise State's the power of that conference, as our San Jose State, or at least my San Jose State, is very poor at 1-11. It's all right. No, it's not. Another one, Chris will be there Friday, Levi's Stadium, Pac-12 championship game between two teams that nobody wanted to see in the Pac-12 championship. I guess Washington maybe a little bit more than Washington State, but number 17, Utah, and number 11, Washington. If I was to tell you who won, I don't really care. I hope Washington wins, because Jake Browning, the quarterback's from Folsom, so he's a pretty kind of local guy. I hope that Washington wins, but Rose Bowl's cool. Winner's going there, so not going to the playoffs. But yeah, I think it's going to be Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Oklahoma that gets the top four. And at this point, Alabama's going to win against any of them, but I think it'll be Alabama versus Clemson. But at least it'll be a probably good game between Alabama and Kyler Murray versus Tua, because they're going to be the Heisman favorites between the two of them. So, yeah, that'll and that'll do it. College football, Reuben Foster, the NFL,
Champions League
games. That's going to do it for our episode 2. We hope you guys enjoyed it. A little less number efficient, a little bit more opinion based this week. We're always going to be keeping it different, switching it up all the time. More segment games to come, different kinds of things. We are going to have another show coming out this week or weekend, whether that's Friday night. If it is Friday night, it'll be really late. But aim for it to be ready for your listening pleasure by Saturday. To kick off the week 13 of the NFL.
We'll talk about our predictions there. Again, MVP, X factors, and what to expect from the weekend. Primetime games being Sunday night and Monday night.
Yeah, so definitely stick around for that. Thank you for sticking around for this. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Don't forget, on the Anchor app, you can always have voice questions that almost kind of like a radio show that we can listen to. We can implement it into the show so that people know where it's at. We can just answer them in general. But feedback is good. Questions are good because we can address those and talk about that too if it's stuff you guys want to hear about. Like I said at the beginning of the show, Spotify is up. YouTube is up. This will be on both of those by the time we are done with this, or when we are done with this. And yeah, don't forget that giveaway extended to December 7th. Instructions on the Instagram page. It is a shout out tag type giveaway. All you got to do is shout us out. Remember, shout outs are free. Helping your friends achieve their dreams are free. Don't be that person that reads a post or views a story and then doesn't take action. You guys are out there. Just come step in the water. It's warm. The AC Sports Podcast is warm. You got anything else to say, Chris?
No. Just like Austin said, we will be recording either Friday night or Saturday. So we'll have episode three ready for the weekend. So yeah, just be prepared and I'm on the lookout for that one.
Yeah, there you have it. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Thank you guys for coming back now for the third installment of the series of the podcast. Episode 2 will be up. Episode 3 coming this weekend. Stick around for the journey. It's going to be a long one, and we want you guys to be with us from the jump as we are going to sign off from San Jose, California. Remember, follow us, AC Sports Podcast, on Instagram. Other social media platforms coming soon. Once we get some more followers and get everything up and running and smooth. But in the meantime, we have Instagram, AC Sports Podcast, the Anchor app that you guys have been listening to, as well as Spotify, YouTube, and I believe like Google Podcasts, amongst others. But the main ones out there, Spotify, YouTube, AC Sports Podcast, Instagram, Anchor, like on the boat. Thank you guys for coming back. If it's your first time coming in today, we appreciate it and hope you like the show and stick around. That's going to do it for us from San Jose, California, AC Sports Podcast.
Signing out.
Ugh.